Baron Serrano checked his appearance in the mirror yet again. Like all his class who had not actually disgraced themselves, he had his promotion to jig, and in an hour the ensigns were to appear for the promotion ceremony in the captain's office. His parents, in accordance with tradition, had sent him their old insignia, a pair from each, and a credit chip for his contribution to the celebration in the junior officer's mess. That was handy, given that his pay was now zeroed out. They'd said nothing about that in their accompanying note. He wondered if it had been written before they found out. He wondered if they simply couldn't think of anything to say. Luckily, these lower-level promotions didn't require dress uniforms, and he had a natural knack for looking trim. His mind strayed, as it often did, to Esme Suiza, whose fluffy brown hair sometimes appalled her as much as it delighted him. She would never understand, he was sure, how those stray wisps made him feel. He hadn't heard from Esme in weeks, but they'd both been shipbound. He hadn't expected to be quite so susceptible to everything that reminded him of her, but he assumed that would pass.
Come on, Baron!
With a last glance, no, hairs had not suddenly sprouted from his ears, he turned and followed the rest to the ceremony. The ceremony itself was brief, but the aftermath wasn't. Each newly promoted jig had, by tradition, donated a dozen drink chits into the pool, and the first 12 enlisted personnel who recognized the new rank each got one. Baron, one of the last in alphabetical order on this ship, found that he was being ambushed at every crossing until his last chit was gone. 4 hours later, the first of the new ensign assignees came aboard, a ship-to-ship transfer from the Cape Hay, which had ferried them from Sector HQ. They looked incredibly young. He couldn't believe he had ever been that green. He kept almost looking behind himself when one of them called him Sir. The Jurfalcon was on what would have been a routine patrol if it weren't for the persistent fear that the new Texas colonies were up to something. Normally, Sector 7 was quiet. The transit points into it from Benignity space made invasion from their main enemy unlikely. Now, however, they were expecting trouble. Within the ship itself, all routines were performed under the restrictions of Level 2 alert. A few days of this, Baron thought, and people would start slacking off, not quite dogging down the blast barriers, not remembering to close off the shower room drains after use, forgetting one or more of the niggling little details that might, if they came under surprise attack, save lives or waste them. Junior officers and senior NCOs were the only defense against this natural relaxation of precautions, and they had lost 8 senior NCOs to the medical restrictions on rejuve recipients. Baron took his turn at inspection with a keen understanding of its importance. He had, after all, lost an uncle to someone's failure to dog a blast barrier, and had grown up with the story. But Cape Hay had brought new orders, and Captain Escobar called Baron in to discuss them.
You remember that professor who's been staying with your wives, dependents?
Yes, sir.
Well, we're going to stop by to pick her up, and take her with us to Sector 1 HQ, where we're to meet a diplomat of some sort from the Lone Star Confederation, and transport her back to Castle Rock. And it might be a good idea for you to try to convince those women to do something other than sit there eating up fleet resources. They may not listen, but they've been telling Professor Meyerson they can't do anything without your permission. Oh, and you have mail.
Baron read the message cube as soon as he had a free moment, which was hours later. His parents had recorded it, but the full weight of the Serrano dynasty lay behind it. He was young to marry anyway, and with Fleet having already assigned him responsibility for the maximum number of dependents, how could he even think of marrying? Of course, they were sure that Lieutenant Suiza would understand, and if she truly cared for him, she would see to it that she made things easier, not harder, for him. There need be no unseemly haste.
How can I think of marrying? How can I not? Unseemly haste? We've known each other for years now. We've been through a blood horde attack, the machinations of envious troublemakers, a very tricky hostage extrication, and I'm not going to be told I'm too young, too inexperienced, too anything else to get married. I am a Jig, not some wet ears ensign fresh out of the academy.
He loved her. She loved him. It was so simple, if only other people would leave them alone. Perhaps she could get leave and they could meet somewhere, privately. He toyed briefly with the idea of running away and getting married secretly in spite of his family. That wouldn't be fair to Esme, though. The land bride Suiza would expect would require more than a hasty ceremony before some local magistrate. Still, with the ship detached for diplomatic duty, maybe, just maybe, they could manage to meet.
Mail drop, Lieutenant.
Chief Conway handed Esme the hard copy list. Esme managed not to sigh. All these new security procedures ate time, since every piece of incoming mail at every mail drop required her to check and initial it. Luckily, they could pick up mail only when reasonably near fleet relays. Still, she could not believe that all these security measures were necessary on a small ship like this. She ran her eye down the list, noting that the chief had flagged three names, a pivot major and two sergeants minor. They had received more than a sig beyond the mean number of contacts and from multiple sources.
No packages.
No, sir. Not for them. There's one for you, though. And Pivot Major Gunderson is getting married at the end of this tour. The return addresses match his next of kin address, his future in-laws address, and the medical center on Rockhouse Major.
Medical center? Oh, of course. Gunderson's neuro-enhanced. Is his betrothed, too?
No, civilian soft-sider. Gunderson's trying to get a control implant approved.
That made sense. He wouldn't want to tear his spouse apart by accident.
Still, a civilian marriage?
Security's been all over it. The family's not fleet, but they've been subcontractors for two generations.
Esme let her gaze drift to the next name.
Farley's parents have sicked the whole family on her to get her to leave fleet and work for their shipping consortium. She says she's been hassled for years and just trashes the notes.
A message cube from Baron. Esme put it aside for later viewing. It bore the sticker that meant it had passed sensors at Sector HQ. He must have told his family by now. His grandmother already knew. This was probably about their response to his telling them about Esme. She still hadn't heard back from her own family, though with the long transit times the new security regs imposed, that wasn't too surprising. She hoped they'd reply promptly. She and Baron would have only a short window of opportunity for their wedding, and while they wanted it to be small and informal, she still wanted it to feel like a wedding, which meant family present. Her other mail was all official business addressed to her position on Shrike. All but the package, much battered after its passage through one checkpoint after another, with Brun Meager's name in the sender ID square.
Package from Brun?
Esme hadn't heard from her since she left for Castle Rock with her babies. She noticed the rumpled seal tape, where security had tried to open it, as required by the new rules. She laid her hand on the ID plate, wondering momentarily how Brun had acquired her handprint, and the seal tape flicked free. Esme unfolded the wrapping, aware of security watching her. The last of the paper folded back to reveal a strip of exquisite embroidery.
Oh!
As wide as her hand, a long strip, she unfolded it carefully. That was nearly as tall as she was, and every centimeter covered with white-on-white embroidery and lace. She hardly dared touch it with bare hands. She felt she should be wearing white gloves to protect it. She laid it gently across her lap and went back to the box. Under the folded strip was a square of some sheer white fabric, more like a net, encrusted with tiny seed pearls, and under that, several pages of drawings, sketches of a gown. A wedding gown, Esme realized, with long sleeves and a high collar. It was more severe than she would have expected Brun to choose. It had almost the suggestion of a uniform about the shoulders. The data cube in the same package explained.
Baron's acquisitions need a way to support themselves, Hazel told me, and you need a wedding gown. Handwork of this quality is rare. If they're working for a good designer, they'll be well paid for it. So, I took the liberty of talking to some designers. I assume you don't want to pay a year's salary on it. For the fleet hero who rescued me, and an introduction to the craftswomen doing work of this quality, Gorin Heil is willing to design your gown. He's not considered as good as Maurice Limited. Oh, but I did like the slight military flair.
It was not the first time Brunn had tried to plan their life for them. This was the fourth, Esme thought, trying not to resent it. Brunn had grown up expecting things to go her way. Money and beauty and luck had failed her only once. No wonder she wanted to go back to running the world, or at least her friends' lives. She was only reverting to normal. She didn't mean to flaunt her power. Probably. Esme looked at the drawings and embroidery again. For a moment, Esme imagined herself in that gown, made of such gorgeous stuff. She would look... No, she must not think about that, not now. It was far too grand a gown for her, for a plain lieutenant in fleet who wanted a quiet family wedding.
But for the land bride Sweeza?
It was not too grand for the land bride Sweeza, but she was not marrying Baron as land bride. She paused in folding the strip of embroidery to replace it in the box.
Am I?
A cascade of difficulties unfolded in her mind, beginning with her position as land bride Sweeza. What if someone thought her marrying Baron had anything to do with that? With the historical position of Sweeza of Altiplano and the regular space service, or Altiplano's ambiguous position within the Familius Regnant? What if her family thought that? What if... She did not like even thinking about this, about the land link that was supposed to have been formed with the land bride ceremony. What if the land itself, land Sweeza, thought her marriage to Baron Serrano meant something beyond love, and she hadn't yet made formal application for a status change? Quickly, without stopping to think about any of it, she called up the appropriate forms.
Officer application for life partner ceremony, procedures and requirements.
Although she had known about the official forms in an intellectual way, having them actually loaded onto her desk comp felt very serious. First came a long, depressing series of warnings, restrictions, and discouraging statistics. She had to initial each paragraph as having been read. Formal life partnerships, also known as marriages, the text informed her prosily, failed even among individuals of long-standing fleet background. The report cited all the possible reasons, including some Esme hadn't thought of.
Are there really people who are confused about their gender as adults? And how many people convert to a religion requiring celibacy after marrying someone?
She read on, doggedly interpreting one paragraph after another, until she came to the section warning officers against entanglements with persons of planetary importance. And right there, in a list that included Governor General of this, and Assistant General Secretary of that, and Commander of the other, she found Altiplano, Sector Commanders, Immediate Families of, and Land Bride / Land Groom.
Land Groom?
There wasn't any such title on Altiplano. The whole point of the Land Bride was... Her mind caught up with the warning, and she glanced back at the heading.
Officers are specifically warned to avoid political entanglements, including liaisons, either casual and permanent, with the following classes of persons.
She could hardly avoid a liaison with herself, but what would this mean to Baron? She was a commissioned officer of the regular space service. Surely they couldn't hold her land bride status against her. Not her. But if they did, she hadn't been a land bride when she and Baron met and fell in love. She had been just another ensign. Just another ensign who had survived a mutiny and saved a planet, but basically a fleet officer. She hadn't done anything wrong in falling for Baron, or he for her. What difference did it make that she was also the land bride Sweeza? Come to think of it, had she ever officially informed Fleet that she was the land bride? Lady Katerina Sines knew, but she had been concentrating so on helping get Brunn free, that was far more important, and she wasn't at all sure she'd turned in the form. Esme called up her personnel stats. Planet of origin, family of origin, religion, local awards and decorations, the star mount, she had put that in. But she hadn't mentioned land bride. Feeling guilty already, she hunted through the personnel procedures database for the right form and didn't find one. Well, not that many officers became land bride. In fact, she was the only one. But this meant discussing the lapse with Captain Solis. She would not want to be surprised by it later.